So we start the month of February with a series about love. This series is called The Force of Love. If you see it on the front of your bulletin, it's pretty good art. Except I was a little worried it looked a bit like a bum. The heart. Anyway, that wasn't funny. But anyway, I really want to set the stage for this series by reading a few verses from the Bible. And we're going to read through a bunch of stuff this morning. And I really just want to take the Word of God and look at what it has to say about it. I think that we need to grow in our role and our understanding of the role of love in our lives. It's really important for us to grow in that, to walk in life God's way. Really, truly, the people around us are waiting for us to take responsibility and commit to living the love life and grasping hold of what that actually means. So when I think about love and I think about living life God's way, I think it is moving from selfishness to giving. The most unloving thing to be is selfish, right? So yesterday night when I'm already, you know, all frustrated and ticked off and sitting in my car and thinking about, well, I want this and I do that and why doesn't, you know, whatever. I'm not going any further than that. But just all I, me, how do I feel? Why does, what's in it for me? What do I get? What is it for, you know? These are thoughts that many of us have when we let ourselves go and we don't live in the love of God. We start thinking about what's good for me, what's best for me, what I want in life, what I need in life, and we forget that everybody around us is a part of our life. We forget that it matters what happens to our spouses, right? Because the world thinks this. The world thinks if it feels good, do it, right? But the Bible teaches us very clearly that we're supposed to die to ourselves daily. That we're supposed to put our flesh to death and live for God. So selfishness is the opposite of love. And giving is the same as love. So God, right, is love. The Bible says God is love, right? God so loved, right, the world in John 3:16 that he gave, right? Yeah. So love is giving. Whenever we express love, we give, right? So when we are finding ourselves, and this is what I've learned over this past couple years as I'm learning to walk this out more and more, is whenever I hear the word I, me, what I want, all this start to trip through my head, I stop and I say, this is wrong. This isn't where I need to go as a believer. This isn't where I need to go if I'm going to really live life for God. The thing is, when we get so busy thinking about our own self, right, and our own selfish desires and needs, we don't have time to think about what other people need. The ideal thing in life, right, is that I think about what Nick needs, and Nick thinks about what I need, because if he's busy thinking about what he needs, or if I'm busy thinking about what I need, I can't take care of Nick, and Nick can't take care of me. But the Bible teaches us that we're supposed to love each other and carry each other. If we can lay a hold of the truth of walking in love, then we can become more effective in life and become a joy, right? I don't know, how many of you feel, don't put up your hand, you're a joy to those around you. I think sometimes we are, but I think sometimes we're a pain in the neck. Like I think myself, I'm pretty good guy. You know, I think I got this down pretty good sometimes, but you could ask my boys and they'll honestly tell you, yeah, Dad can be an idiot sometimes. He's not always a good guy. Because when we start to really live out the love of God and the life of God, we become a joy. Not only to ourselves, because it is a lot more fun when you live to give instead of live to get, right? But we become a joy to God, right? And we become a light to this world. because it's unusual to see someone give. I think this event we're doing today is an amazing event. The reason I think that makes it amazing is because it's just given and given and given and given and given. Like, people come here, it doesn't cost them anything. They bring food, you know, a food bank item. But they come here and they get amazing prizes. Like last year, I don't know, how many prizes did you give out? 100? Lots. Right? I saw the prize already this year. There's tons of prizes. They come and there's free food. And that is unusual. That is not normal. Usually when you go to an event, you pay money and you get stuff, right? But when you come and you get free, well, that's what the gospel is, right? It's like we come as we are, unworthy, without anything to offer. We give our lives to Jesus, and Jesus gives us life, right? He gives us love. So we become people that shine the light of God and the goodness of God, and we make people ask the question, why do they do that? Why would you be a giver? Why would you forgive me? Why would you say, I don't owe you one? I don't know, like, I don't know if you do that, but when people say, I owe you one, I always say, no, you don't owe me anything. I did that. That's free. That's good. That's for you. Right? Well, why would you do that? Like, that's when we live generously like God, when we live in love like God, when we will forgive people when they don't deserve forgiveness, we show the goodness and the glory of God to the world. So this is one of the scriptures I want to read. This is my commandment. It's found in John 15, verse 12, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is what? The great suggestion? What does it say? This is my commandment, right? That you love one another. So this is a requirement, as I have loved you. So it isn't just a lovey-dovey kind of like, if you love me, I'll love you. If you're nice to me, I'll be good to you kind of love. It's the love that said, Jesus, when I think about the love of God, again, I'm blown away because Jesus, God knew. I've walked with the Lord now, I think, for about 40 years. When I was about 9 or 10, I gave my heart to Jesus and been living for Him. So you think after 40 years, I got it down a little bit. I should have this figured out. But after I'm like having my little fit last night and I'm doing my thing and feeling sorry for myself, I'm thinking, well, Jesus, when you died on the cross, you knew that after 40 years, I'd still do that. But you loved me anyway. You gave anyway. You suffered anyway. Even though you knew I wouldn't get this thing down as fast as I should get it down, even though I fall down sometimes and I fail, You got it. You did it. You gave it all for me. And that's the way God commands us to love each other. How many people get married and then 2 or 3 years later they're like, well, you don't treat me the way you used to treat me. You don't buy me flowers. You don't sit beside me in the car anymore. You don't, right? Well, it's true, you don't. And we start to get bothered and we start to get perturbed and we start to get frustrated, and we say, well, where's the love? Right? But the love of God loves in spite of. The love of God loves 40 years later, even though it ain't perfect. The love of God was willing to wait thousands of years for generations of people, multitudes of people, to turn toward Him and say yes, even though so many don't say yes. That's the love of God, and that's the love that He commanded us to love with. That love. That's amazing. John 17, verse 21 says that they all may be one. That would be us, the church. That as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, so that we would be alike, that we would be together in heart and mission and purpose, right? So that the world might believe that you have sent me. If the world has any chance of knowing Jesus, it's as we live the love walk, as we walk with God, as we serve Him in a way that would reflect the same love that He gave to us. That's how the world has a chance. If you've got someone in your life that you know is not serving Jesus and is dying and going to hell, minding their own business, the only way to help them is to love each other, is to love God, to express that love through through faithfulness and kindness and just with having the heart of God. In Galatians 5, verse 6, it says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any strength, praise the Lord, but faith working through love." Faith working through love. So faith works through love. And a lot of us want to have faith and we want to see things happen, right? But we don't always want to live in love, right? I don't know, maybe it's only me, but seriously, sometimes I have a hard time loving people that don't return the love, right? So this flashlight works because of these batteries, right? It doesn't work without the batteries. I can put it together, and it doesn't work. It looks exactly the same, right? On the outside, looks good. It works, but it doesn't work. It's useless, right? Well, faith, right, without love doesn't work because it works by love or through love. It works. So we put the flashlight batteries back in, and then we push the button, and we do the thing that our mothers always told us never to do, shine light in someone's eyes. Right? We know it works. Well, if I'm going to live a life of faith with God, I want it to work. I don't want to live this whole life and figure out that I didn't have a clue what this life was about. I want it to work. I want my faith to work. I want God to really see me and say, well done. But without love, right, there's no batteries to your faith. So when you think about, right, life, there's a lot of people that have a lot of things going for them, but it has no lasting impact because there's no love involved. Like, you know, the law of sowing and reaping, you know, that's in the Bible, that says, give and it will be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It works for everybody. It's a law. But whenever you do it in love, God puts the super behind the natural and makes it supernatural. Right? So when I give kindness to somebody, right, if I sow out kindness, and I do it because I want to get something from that person, right? Like, I want to, you know, like, I mean, back years ago, I used to work for a company called A.L. Williams. It was a multi-level marketing company, and the idea was not to sell life insurance. It was to recruit people, right? And so you'd always be trying to recruit people, and then you'd be looking up people that you hadn't seen for a long time and you didn't know really anymore, but you call them up and you're like, well, let's have a coffee. And then you sit down and you make your small talk and you're kind and you're kind of affectionate and, you know, oh, yeah, well, how's the wife? How's the kids? How's all that? And, you know, you're showing all this kindness with a root cause in that just to get them to do what you want them to do. Well, there's kindness there and it's sown, and when you sow kindness, you reap kindness. But when you do it in love, if you do that same thing without an ulterior motive behind it, you just go because you care about someone and you're wondering how they're doing and you just really want to express love, then the power of God gets behind that and it multiplies in your life. But so many times we're doing it without love. It's like a battery, a flashlight without a battery. And we can't just say, okay, well, I'm going to get a battery now. I'm going to pretend that this is about love, and now that's going to work. Because really, it's got to come from your heart. It's got to be God at work in your heart, and it's got to be Him working through you and actually doing it out of love. Not then just because, well, I got to be nice to people now, and I got to be kind to them and love them because I want to get something from God now. It's got to be just because you love God. We love because God first loved us. We love because we express that as a thanksgiving to God. So many times we try and love people, right? So like if I've known Tom for, I don't know, 25 years, 20 years, I don't know, long time. Got the same hairline and everything and look a little bit the same. Yeah, he's rubbing his belly, you know. But like Tom and I, we get along good. And I just totally lost my train of thought. So, hi, Tom. How's it going? yeah, whatever. Guess it wasn't that important. I just had a knock on the head yesterday. Anyway, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Thank you, Lord. I'll remember. I'll get back to it. I'm going to read the whole chapter, okay? A lot of you know this chapter. It's a pretty famous chapter. A lot of you quote it. A lot of you know it probably by heart, but I'm going to read it, and then we're going to sort of work our way back through it a little bit. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but I have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there are knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am also known. And now abides faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. So, this verse is talking and really making clear that love is the superior force, right? That all these other things will pass away. Prophecy, word of knowledge, you know, all these other things will pass away. And three things will remain: faith, hope, love. But the greatest of these is love. So in order for us to really grasp something that's eternal and latch onto something that's lasting, we got to latch on to love. If we're really going to do works and do kindness and do life in a lasting way, we have to do it through love. The greatest of these is love, and everything else passes away. It's very important for us to understand, if we're really going to move forward in our walk with Jesus, love is what remains, and a love is what has ultimate power to change lives and futures. Right? It's the love of God flowing through us that has the ability to change a life and a future. The stuff leaves. So when we're thinking about priorities in our world, right? When we leave this planet, the career leaves. And really, most people that have hit 65 or 70, even when they love their job gives them the boot because they're too old. They don't really know. They haven't kept up with the trends. They feel people, you know, like, and they discard you because you're older. It doesn't last. Your career doesn't go on forever. It's not eternal. Maybe you'll do and use the gifts and the abilities that you have, but so many times we give our lives to our careers, our jobs, making money, and we neglect the relationships around us, but those things pass away. The career, the job pass away. The things you work so hard for, right? Like the nice cars and the nice house and the furniture and the TVs and the holidays and all these things. They're all great and it's not bad. But when it becomes your emphasis, when it becomes what your life is defined by and lived for, it ends. It's not going with you. It's not eternal. It's fun. It's cool. It's nice to have, but it doesn't last. Like, I think about, you know, even church as, you know, like I know a lot of churches starting out, and this church, even when it started out, we didn't have anything. We came, we rented this school. We sat on these hard wooden chairs. We had a really crappy microphone system, a bad sound system, and we had a guitar, and we had this big old pulpit, and we drag it in every Sunday. We didn't have anything, but we had the presence and the power of God, and it was awesome. Now we have this stuff, and that's cool. We still can have the presence of God and the power of God here, but it's not determined by this stuff. This stuff doesn't mark it. This isn't what we're here for. This is nice because we've been around for a while and God's blessed us with it, but it's not what it's about. Your rights. We fight so hard for our rights, don't we? We want what's ours. We want it. We deserve it. We should have it. Right? In our marriages, in our family life, in our workplaces, in our government, we want our rights. But realistically, if you're a believer, you already laid those rights down at the altar a long time ago. You gave them to Jesus when you gave your heart to Jesus, but we cling to those things so hard, but they're not eternal. They don't last. When we go to heaven, when we go be with Jesus, that's all gone. It's all passed away. Love remains. Your decision to develop in the love of God should never depend on whether or not anyone responds to that love, but should be expressed to express love to God. So like the Bible teaches this very clearly that in loving you, I'm showing my love to God. Right? If I say I love God, but I don't love the brother that I can see, the Bible says I'm a liar. Truth is not in me. So I express my love to God by expressing my love to you and to everybody else I meet. When we give, right, even as we give in the church, so many times we give and we look at people to get back, right? But when we give, we give to God and God returns. Same with our love. We though look at our relationships. We look if we're married or if we have kids and we say, well, you know what? I do all these things for you. Why aren't you doing them back? Why aren't you pouring love back into my life? Why aren't you giving me the things that I want when really we're giving it to God and the return will come from God? Does that make sense? I know it's not easy. I know that when we give to someone continually, that we start feeling used and abused when we don't have a reciprocating kind of situation, like when people aren't giving back to us. But God never promised it was going to be easy. Actually, if we look at the Bible said, if you won't take up your cross daily and follow me, you're not worthy to be called my disciples. Right? He who loves his life will lose it. He who loses his life will gain it for my sake in this life seven times and the life beyond. Like, we get when we give, but he didn't promise it would be easy. He said, I didn't come to bring peace, but to bring a sword. Right? He said, if you don't hate your father, mother, sister, brother compared to how you love me, then there's something. So there's all this, there's this whole thing that this is going to be a challenge. And we need to grow up and take responsibility and take on the challenge. The more mature and perfected we become in the love of God, the more we resemble God. Right? The idea is that the Bible says, in Ephesians, we're going to read it a little bit later, but that we all grow up and mature until we're in the full stature of Jesus. Right? That we look and act like Jesus looked and acted in this world. Like, not physically look, but the personality and the ways of life. And then we live life with lasting value. So the first point is, love gives things that lasting value. It says, I may speak in the language of humans and of angels, again in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. But if I don't have love, I'm a loud gong or a clashing cymbal. I may have the gift to speak what God has revealed, and I may understand all mysteries and have all knowledge. I may even have enough faith to move mountains, but if I don't have love, I'm nothing. I may even give away all that I have and give up my body to be burned, but if I don't have love, none of these things will help me. So many times, we judge our life, right, So many of us judge how we are doing by what we're doing. Right? Yeah. So like, It's saying here that if you could prophesy, right? And if you don't have love, it doesn't mean anything. You could work miracles. You could do all these great things in my name. But if you don't have love, it amounts to nothing. You can even give your own body to be burned. You could die a martyr's death. And if you don't have love, it equates to a big fat zero. Right? We judge our life so many times on what we're doing. But it's not about what we're doing. It's about where's our heart at? How are we responding and why are we responding? We need to respond in God's love. Sometimes we look at people and we look at them and we say, well, that person's really successful in business. They're a good Christian. They're successful in business. They must have it all together. This verse is saying just because they have it, it looks like on the outside that things are going well, doesn't mean it's all together. We can look at sometimes at people and think they're spiritual giants because they speak in tongues or they give words of wisdom and words of knowledge or prophecy. And we think, well, this person's really got the inside line with God. But the Bible said that if it's not administered in love, it's not spoken out in love, if it's not done in love, it doesn't mean anything. We think sometimes when people do miracles, and I've met people that have seen the dead raised in their ministry, and it's hard not to look at that person and go, wow, you're pretty, wow, that's cool. Touch me, teach me, you know, do something to me so I could be like you. I want to be like you when I grow up. And we put these people on a pedestal, but it doesn't necessarily mean that everything is good because we still need to do it out of a heart of love. Here's the other important thing we need to understand from these verses is that we can go through life going through the motions and even doing some spectacular things, but if our heart's wrong, it doesn't mean anything. Right? So it's where our heart's at. We've got to work on the heart. We've got to connect with God in the heart. So love is what lasts. Love is what has eternal impact. Love is what God wants us to grow up in. I think so many times, you know, like in our culture, the role of a mother has been diminished so much, right? But I think about a mother and how they nurture the kids, how they sacrifice, how they really spend the first 5 or 6 years of a kid's life at home talking with the kids and hanging out with the kids and listening to the kids scream and listening to the kids run and listen. Like if you ever go outside of school, when school lets out for recess, it's noisy. And mothers live with that noise. But mothers, you know, like I mean, Christine, a lot of times when she's off work, she'll be like making, you know, cookies for when the kids get home. And they just sit down and talk to them, have a hot chocolate and cookies with them and just connect with them and like love them. And a mother's role is really about love and nurture, right? And so many times that's been diminished. But that is what life with God is about. It's about pouring out yourself for someone else. So, number 2 point today is we can mature in the love of God and learn to live there. I think that when most of us came to Christ, we came because we saw something in someone else that was attractive to us. Right? We experienced the presence of God at a different level than what we had before. Or we were looking for answers, and we found them in God. So like for me, I was pretty young, right? We were church people. We were in a church that was very disciplined and they believed the Bible and they believed in God. But there was, like as a kid, all I remember was pretty boring. The most exciting part of the Sunday morning service was when we did the Ten Commandments, and they said ox or ass, and then we'd sit and giggle for a few minutes as kids, and that was church, and we were excited about that. That was a pretty fun part. And we got a roll of peppermints so we'd be quiet, right? So get the peppermints, swallow them, have a little laugh about halfway through, and then we're done, right? But I remember when we started going to a church that, well, we actually started going to like a full gospel businessmen's, right? And we are seeing like the music was exciting. People were excited to be there. everybody was hanging around afterwards and talking and connecting and loving. I met a guy this past week when I was at Mark Davies' mom's funeral home. There was a guy there that knew us from back in the day when we were at Full Gospel Businessmen. It was, I loved your dad and your mom there. You know, but there was just all this love and there was this care and there was this life. And we just were really attracted to that. And we came into a relationship with God. We experienced the presence of God in those services, and it drew us toward Him. There was an attraction to it. But the biggest thing, right, is that unconditional love and acceptance that we get when we come to God. It blows my mind that God loves me. I don't know. You might all be a lot more perfect than me and not do things wrong. But there are some times when I just sit and go, God, if I were you, I'd give up on me. But God just keeps loving me and keeps pouring out that love toward me and keeps caring about me and keeps just keep going with me. And I'm like, wow, God, I just can't. And that is God, and that's amazing. We wanted to get connected to God because we wanted to experience that unconditional love, that feeling that God is with us and that God, the conditions are off. He loves us and He wants to be with us. So we start this journey with God, looking to receive love, but we find out that the real awesome part of the journey is when we not only receive love, but that we can give it out to others. There's that scripture in the Bible that said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I think as we mature as people, right, like when the kids are little, they just can't wait to tear into the presents, right? But now, like my kids are 16 and 14, and they still love tearing into presents, but they're getting excited about seeing somebody tear into the present that they gave at Christmas, right? And as we grow and mature, we start realizing it isn't all about us anymore, but it's about the other person too, and we start pouring out love. And as Christians, if we're healthy and we're growing in God, we start to learn that love is not just for us, but it's from us to others too. That God wants to pour out His love to attract other people to Him. So we learn to understand that we not only receive love, but also we need to learn to give love to others. When we were babies, our parents, right, if they're right in the head, loved us unconditionally, right? So I'm thinking about Steve and Melinda, right, when you have your first baby. I remember we brought Levi home. He was a little one like that one. He was 6, 7, I think, when he was born. And he had a little bit of jaundice and, you know, things like that. So we had to watch him and roll him over in the sun like a turkey, you know, on a spit just to make sure he got enough sun and put him in the window. And, you know, and then we had him in our room and I'm like a nervous Nelly. So he's like breathing and I can't hear him breathing for a couple seconds. And I got to get up and, you know, go look in the crib and see if he's still breathing. And it's just like, it was terrifying to me as a parent, but everything he did was cute, right? So when he was little and he pooped, we thought that was pretty fun. Like, he pooped. It was, like, pretty wild. Like, you'd hold him and it'd be like, whoa, that's pretty cool. That kid's got some power, right? We'd be excited about that. You notice whenever you say poop, all the guys smile. But anyway, when they're young, right, we think that's pretty cool. When they cry and they're hungry, we don't get ticked off because the baby's crying. We don't get mad at them. Shut up, kid. Right? Because we don't want to hear it. The mother grabs the baby and they feed him and they think, oh, what a beautiful little baby. Right? Because baby's totally selfish. Right? The baby only cares about itself. They don't care if mom needs some sleep because she's been up every 2 hours feeding the thing and cleaning up. You know? The baby doesn't care. Baby wants what it wants when it wants it. It's the way babies are. We're basically, when we were kids, selfish and self-centered, and that was okay because we didn't know any better. Time goes by a few years, though, and the kindergarten kid is laying in his bed screaming, Mom, give me food now, food me, and poops his pants in the bed. And then we're like, right? We don't want to end its life, but we want to make its life miserable for a few minutes. Right? Because this is wrong. But like when your teenager does it, if your teenager's laying in bed, food! Give me food! Some still do. if they poop, it's real bad. Right? But like, it's unacceptable, right? We can't accept that. That's crazy. That's ridiculous. If your husband or wife does it, then it's really bad. But like, we realize that when we grow up, things start to change, right? There's an expectancy for each and every one of us to mature as people and take care of ourselves, and not only take care of ourselves, but start to take care of others too, right? Take care of the needs of others. In fact, if we stay focused on our own self and our own desires and our own needs, they label us with some pretty, I can't remember the name for it, but it's not a good name. It's pretty nasty when you're that egotistical person who thinks the world revolves around them. Most of us know two or three people like that. Maybe one of them is us. But that's a bad thing when people grow, but they don't ever grow up, right? So why is it that as believers sometimes we feel it's okay to stay infantile or as a toddler in the faith, when what God really wants for us to do is to grow up and become mature as believers, to learn not only to receive love and care, but to give it? Here's what 1 Corinthians 13:11 says: when I was a child, my speech, feelings, and thinking were also those of a child. Now that I am an adult, I have no more use for childish ways. Ephesians 4:13-15 from the Message Bible says, until we're all moving, this is talking about apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, teaching us and leading us, and until we're all moving rhythmically and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son. Fully mature adults, fully developed within and without, fully alive like Christ. No prolonged infancies among us, please. We'll tolerate no babes in the woods, small children who are easy mark for imposters. God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth and tell it in love, like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. So this verse thrown in here, I think in 1 Corinthians 13, we read the whole thing, it's about love, and then all of a sudden it shifts to when I was a child. Right? It seems out of place almost in there. But the truth is that if we're going to grow as Christians, how many know that just because you've been a Christian for 30 years doesn't make you mature? Right? What makes you mature as a Christian? Trials, yeah. You become more caring, more loving. It's not all about you anymore. You don't get bent out of shape every time you walk into church and someone doesn't say hi to you. You don't get bent out of shape when your husband forgets your birthday, you know, or someone else in the church forgets your birthday. You don't get bent out of shape every time you're treated badly, but you learn to live and love and care deeply. This verse is placed in the middle of this, I believe, because the idea of growing as a Christian is the idea of growing in love. To become mature as a Christian, we have to learn to walk the love walk. We have to allow God to do that work in our life. And I'm going to leave it here for this morning. Over this next bunch of weeks, we're going to talk about love. We're going to talk about growing in love. We're going to talk about the maturity that requires. We're going to talk about what that will produce as fruit in our life and how do we get there, okay? So let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning. We thank you that you are King and that you are God. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, although you commanded us to love one another, we find it difficult. But Lord, as we're going to learn next week, that you provided us with a spirit of might that we could do it. Lord, that ability by your Holy Spirit to be able to love people, to walk out this love walk, to grow in maturity and to become more like you. Lord, I pray that this week, even as we're going through our week, that you'll call upon us to step up our love walk. Lord, that you'll even help to identify, Lord, in our lives, areas where we have been immature. Lord, where we've been laying in our bed screaming for food and pooping. Lord, and that we would, Lord, instead of doing that we would grow into this perfect, mature believer that you've called us to grow into. I ask this in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen.